Well, there's thousands more still coming, so you guys are lucky that you got to see. What we understand is nobody can find this building. So, but they're taping this, and thousands are going to buy this tape, so we're going to go ahead and do it for the people in Iowa this morning. Lee's going to lead us in a short prayer, and then we will kick this off and go eat breakfast or something.
Let's pray. Good morning, Father. It's a blessed day to be in your presence. We thank you that you give us that privilege. We thank you that you call us your children. Father, as we spend time this morning just talking about all the ways that this world is spinning, we just pray, Father, that our ministry to youth, our ministry with youth, and the ministry that our teens are providing even to us will be enhanced and will be broadened. And Father, we pray that more than anything else that you'll be glorified. Father, we ask especially that you'll be with Dudley this morning as he shares. Be with all of us as we interact. And we pray, Father, that we will be Jesus to this world. We thank you for the sacrifice that you were willing to make through your Son. And we ask, Father, that you make us more like him each and every day. Thank you for the blood of the Christ that cleanses us from our sins. And it's through him that we pray. Amen.
Well, for a devotional thought this morning, just for you guys, where are y'all from? Missouri? Okay, this is for everybody in Missouri this morning. And you guys, where are y'all from?
Nebraska.
For Nebraska also. Paul said this, and this is kind of think about where you guys are right now as adults or children or students, what we can do with our lives. He says, though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law. Though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. From 1 Corinthians there. This is probably not going to be riveting for you guys, although Mikhail came back. She was here yesterday. Basically what we're going to look at, what you guys can tell us that are students,
you can
tell us if this is kind of true or not, some of the things that we're going to see in just a moment. But what I wanted you to get out of reading that passage is that wherever you are in life, if you're a Christian, you have bought into this deal about making disciples and sharing your faith and carrying on the gospel to the next generation, including our generation, to our own self. Well, how do we stay connected? We talked yesterday about some things, and then yesterday afternoon, I'm assuming you guys did great, and they talked some more about this. So we're going to run through this quickly, and then we'll have some time also to get some response from you. So are we awake, ready to roll? Kind of. We're not awake. Okay. There's Starbucks here, I heard.
No.
Is there Starbucks coffee stuff here, or maybe it's an off-brand stuff or whatever. So what's up? All right. To the adults, we're talking about ministry to adolescents, to students, if you will. And students, as we talk about this, think about, is this real? Is it relevant in my life? One of the things we know about students, they're a lot of them are leaving our fellowship. And not just Churches of Christ, okay? So it's not doom and gloom for Churches of Christ. It's Protestant churches and Catholic churches across the board. I mean, students aren't going back. And what they're saying is, it's just not relevant in my life. Doesn't mean anything to me. And so we're trying to figure that out as we go along here. The key thing, though, and I'll say this again, and it was on the PowerPoint slides yesterday, the key to church is relationships. Just bottom line. You can do these two books here. I'll tell you about them later. You can buy all kinds of books like this and do all kind of programming and stuff, but if you don't have relationships, it's just not going to happen. That's why when we say, students, you might hear us say, we're the first century church. We're going to be the first century. We're not even close. I'll just as an adult tell you, we're not even close. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and see what they did, we are not even close. Now, we might be in doctrine and, you know, trying to keep the rules and things like that. We might be close, or what we think is close. But as far as saying we're the first century church, boy, we got some work to do on that one, because it's about relationships. And when I sell my house because this guy over here doesn't have a place to stay, and I sell my house and get me a smaller one where he can have a house, we'll be getting back to being the first century church, because that's what they did. Well, that's scary, because that messes up our economics. I tell my students in Oklahoma Christian, when I ask a question, if you don't know the answer, there's a good chance that it's Jesus or economics. If you go with one of those two, I'll give you credit, partial credit, because that's what it's all about. Okay. Teaching the Bible, we talk about culture a lot, and knowing culture, being mentoring, once again, that's a discipler, a mentor. We've got to do that. Honest, with a lot of energy. You can tell that because I'm sitting on this bench this morning. I'm not jumping up and down, but I really do have a lot of energy. Relevance, key word there. It's got to be relevant in your life. You guys right here from Missouri, think about going to church. That could be depressing, but going to church, do I wake up on Sunday morning, I'm fired up about going there, and Wednesday night I can't wait to get out of school. I usually walk from school to the church because I just want to be there. Probably not. What we know from studies, especially soul searching, where they've surveyed thousands of teenagers, pretty much teenagers say, if there's anything else I can do, I'll do it first before I'll do church. Well, we should look at that as adults and go, well, that's really sad, and they may go to hell and all that. We should be saying, what are we doing that's not relevant? Because the gospel, the way I read it in the gospels and Jesus and Paul's letters and all, is very alive, exciting. People gave their lives for it. People died for this, went to lions dens and got hung on crosses and got burned at the stake for the gospel. We're missing teaching about how exciting that is. Not that burning at the stake would be exciting. It probably would be, but you know, we're not getting that across to our people. I'm going to go through some of these quickly to get to these statistics here. Okay, this was what I told you yesterday that we would talk about. And this is a pilot study that I did with some Winterfest kids from all over the country, and also with about 300 African-American Church of Christ teenagers out in California at a conference that they have every year, because I wanted to purposefully get a sample of black Church of Christ kids. And so that's included in this. And it's interesting, when we separate black and white, and there were some other minorities in there also, that the answers are way different about church. So we might can learn something from each other. I also separated this sample later on by homeschool, private school, and public school. Are any of you homeschooled? We got our homeschool bunch back here. Private school? Public. I guess that's the rest. Jenny, you were private school. Ooh. You have to sit in the middle. Okay. Well, we can see that later. There were 1,232 people. A lot of this won't mean anything. You can just see it, the different kinds of parts of this. Now, let me say this. When you hear about a pilot study, guys, this will be good for you in statistics when you take that. What we tried to do there was test some questions and see how those questions were answered by teenagers, and did we need to redo them. Because what we want to do is a bigger national study. We want to get it to Mikkel, all the way up where she lives in Iowa, and our other Church of Christ kids. We want to know a little bit more about you guys. Not to just know stuff about you, but we want to, what can we do that will help you know Christ better and to share Christ better and to live it out in your life? I mean, if we're not about that, we're just wasting our time, and Lee should get a job somewhere else doing something else, and so should Mike. But we give our lives to that stuff, and we could be making millions of dollars doing other things, but we chose to do ministry, to be all things to all people, to win a few kind of thing. Well, as you students see these questions, ask yourself this, because this was I found it very interesting that homeschool student, I really thought, you know, when you do research, you kind of have what they call hypotheses, and you kind of make a statement like, homeschool students will read the Bible more than public school students. Now, you would think that that would be a true statement, and that it would the research would show that that's true. Well, you can see later on that that's not true, which is interesting. In fact, what we found was private school students read the Bible more than public and homeschool. I never would have thought that. Well, is it that they're reading the Bible, or the Bible's read to them every day in chapel and they have to go to chapel? That's probably what it is. And so they counted that I read the Bible today. We don't know that, but that's probably what happened. That would be an hypothesis, if you will. But, I mean, once a day, 22% of students are reading the Bible once a day. And that statistic is probably the same as it's been forever, because what we know about us as a fellowship, we just don't read the Bible. We say we're Bible people, but we don't read it. You know, and that's just a big deal. In our family, we sit down with our boys every night and read the Bible to them. At least when they take this survey, you know, and if it's their turn to read during the week or whatever, hopefully we'll come up and change the statistic by 0.0001 or something, because they could say, yeah, we read the Bible in our house every night. Obviously, also, there's more to just reading them. I mean, you guys probably read the Bible. The question is, do you do what it says? I mean, that's where the rubber meets the road here. Okay. Prayer. Now, this one went up a little bit. Pray several times a day. And, of course, that might be those kind of prayers where, God, please help me pass this test, or please help me do good in sports, or please help me. You're praying. There's nothing wrong with that. I would tell you, pray for a car if you want one. Go for it. You might get it, especially if you pray. I would throw this in because I think this helps God a little bit. If you say, God, would you get me a car and I'll bring people to church in it? I mean, use that. Go for it. And then follow up on that. Make sure you do that. Don't lie to God. But pray. I mean, talk to God a lot. I'm in a Bible study right now on Thursdays with 5-6 girls. I baptized this girl and I told her, I will not baptize you unless you have a group of girls that will disciple you. I'm not going to do it. So she went and got 5 girls, came to my office and said, I want to be baptized, and these girls are going to disciple me. So we meet on Thursdays, and one of the things that we're doing, celebration of disciplines and learning how to pray and learning how to read the Bible. And Sunday I'm taking those 6 girls and we're going downtown in Oklahoma City to an inner city church. And we're going to teach the girls' class, and they're going to make brownies for them and do it. Because part of being a Christian is serving other people. So these 5 girls are discipling this one new Christian girl, and she's not ever going to forget that in her whole life, that she was discipled. I asked my students, I think I said this yesterday, how many of you were discipled after you were baptized? None. I mean, I would ask you that. How many of you got baptized and somebody came over to your house for at least 40 days after you were baptized and discipled you? I mean, it's rare, but it matters. Quickly, Green goes. I have a little Honduras boy in Honduras, and that's just when we bring our groups down. He's kind of one of my leaders, and he's quickly, Green goes. So that's where that comes from. Serving other people. This was pretty good. Every day. Not sure what that means unless it's just this mentality. This is one of the questions that we would try to write a little different to find out. This was interesting. It would be interesting to ask you guys, you students. We asked the question, do you have gifts that God's given you that you cannot use in the church? Well, 25% said yes. 32% said no. I'm always more interested in the people that don't know or don't have an answer. I mean, what are we thinking? And maybe that was, you know, there were some 7th and 8th graders in this stuff. Maybe they don't know yet what a gift or a talent or something like that is. But once again, in discipling these, and these were baptized Christians, God's given you certain things that you can do. And we can make that into baking brownies for old people or raking yards or reading the Bible or singing or whatever. But this is what happened here. I also ask them, what are the gifts that you have that you can't use? Now, obviously you might say, we don't dance at our church or whatever, but that's in there. Playing instruments. My two sons are very musically gifted and talented, and we've had those discussions, sitting together, Dad, why don't we play instruments in our church? I mean, we had to deal with that. What does the Bible say about that? Not much. What do people say about it? What's our tradition say about that? And can we sing Amazing Grace in our house with a guitar? I mean, can we listen to contemporary Christian music? Can we watch a contemporary Christian video at our church? In my church, where I go to, you cannot have any kind of music in the sanctuary. We don't say that word. The auditorium. Even for a wedding, you can't have dun-dun-dun-dun. You can't even have it taped. It all has to be a cappella or none at all. We don't have many weddings at that church. I have seen one wedding, and it was terrible. Some guy tried to sing the wedding song, and it was just, he murdered it. You know, it was unbelievable. I was thinking, man, somebody stop this, you know, and it's crazy. But that's our tradition, and some people say that's our doctrine or stuff like that. Well, we've got a bunch of students that are leaving our fellowship because they're very gifted artists, musicians, and they're going to community churches that allow that kind of talent to be used. Now, whether that's right or wrong, we're not going to discuss that here this morning. The fact is, they're leaving and going and feel like they can use their gifts for God. So that may be an interesting thing for us to look at later on. Singing, sports, speaking, etc. We kind of always ask, you know, is your church conservative or progressive or whatever, and where you feel like you're at on this this stage? Which this is always interesting to me, because these are kids that come to a program that we have called Winterfest, and Mike and these guys do Fall Fest and some other things. And typically, if you can go to those, you wouldn't probably be considered conservative. And yet there's some students that felt like our church is very conservative. Kind of deal there. What do you like most about your church? As you look at these lists, you're going to see the big numbers center around, guess what? People, relationships, kind of stuff. Not programming and things like that, but it's the people. And it's attributes of people, being accepting. These numbers here, although they're low, they indicate there were over 15 responses in this survey that'll pull it up to 1 or 2%. There's 1,200 students in this survey, and when you ask a question like this, you could get 1,200 answers. And so we've kind of collapsed them a little bit to fall into some of these categories, just to say, you know, get an idea about that. This also helps us to ask a better, more direct question in a bigger study. But we like Bible study and caring and class closeness. Fellowship, friendly, friends, like family, 4%. The people, 15%. The preacher even got in this and beat out the youth minister. I mean, that's interesting. But also from this, one of the things we know from this group of people is at our Winterfest deal, about 40% or less come with a full-time youth minister. That's out of 18,000 kids. The rest of them come with a volunteer, with a parent, Some of them come there. We have two or three groups of students that come on their own because their church won't let them come. I don't get involved with that. They email me and say, can we come? And I just say, well, you know, you certainly can come into Winterfest. I don't know how you're going to stay in a hotel without an adult, but I'm not going to ask, you know, and whatever, but it happens. 25% they like their youth group. I thought that would be higher, but it wasn't. What do you like least about your church? Once again, 31% didn't answer. Boring sermons. Preacher, remember, got 3% on the other one, but also boring sermons got 3% here too. And I would tell you guys that do youth ministry, boring lessons are right there with boring sermons. So don't dog your preacher if you ain't got your act together. Let's see, cliques, division, gossip, judgmental, music, you know, the whole deal there. Old people, sorry. You know, and sometimes we are bad. We get set in our ways, and this is how we're going to do it, and we don't like to hear your ideas. Mike Iaconelli tells a story. He did tell it. He's dead. But about his church, and there was some teenagers on the board of this church because they kind of wanted to have some input from them. The big pipe organ in this 100-year-old church went out. It's going to be $30,000 to replace it. And one of the teenagers said, I have a synthesizer. I can make the same sounds as that organ. And it costs $1,000. Well, we're not going to do that because that's not the way. You got to have a pipe organ. It's got to be, you know. And so they spend $30,000. We had a church in Oklahoma City. Their communion trays kind of were getting old and tarnished. And they spent $12,000 to get gold-plated communion trays and stuff. Meanwhile, the people three blocks away don't have food to eat, you know. And a teenager would say, put it on a styrofoam plate. I mean, who cares? But that's, you know, once again, old people. Who does youth? But also, remember this, students, old people are, we're good. We have wisdom, typically, and we also have money. And so you like us for that, and we love you too. Who does youth ministry at your church? Let's see. Personal cell phone. This was interesting. We had one session where our speaker asked students to take out their cell phones. Of course, no one was supposed to have a cell phone, but about 8,000 people took them out, and you know, it's kind of like the concert, you know, and where we used to do lighters, and now you can do cell phones. It's amazing. And actually had them do some stuff. My phone right here, every day it goes off at 3:16.
Mine too.
And that was our challenge. And so every day I pray for all of those students that were at Winterfest doing the mission. And so we can, you know, if you can't beat it, join it kind of thing. And so we're all over that technology. Hours you spend a day on computers. We were looking at things like that. I love this question. Who talked with you about sex? And ask yourself, students, ask yourself that. Did your mom or dad tell you about that? Typically, you know, they say the mom should talk to the girls and the dad should talk to the guys and stuff like that. I asked my Christian family class at Oklahoma Christian each year, first of all, I ask them, have you had the talk? Have you had the talk? And only about half of them have had the talk. I mean, they're freshmen. No, this is a junior, senior class in college. They have not had the talk. Now, they know the stuff because they got it in the locker room or somewhere else, or 17 or Vogue or Playboy or wherever you get it. They know about sex, but their parent has not sat down with them and had the talk with them. That's scary. Who do you go to for help? Mom always wins this one, even with daughters or sons, which is part of the nurturing part of mom. And dads, we love our kids. But typically we're in the got to make a living mode. We're not as touchy-feely as moms are, although some of us are kind of sensitive guys. We have a sensitive side, you know. We wear pink, and we're not ashamed, some of us, at least a hat or something. But here's an interesting thing we found. For the first time ever, I asked students to tell me about their parents' religiosity. How many times do they go to church, and how many times do they pray? And all those are extrinsic kind of measures. What we find when we do a statistical analysis on this, the more a mother and father go to church, the more likely a student will go to them first for advice and help before they'll go to their peers. And we might go, duh, you know, but we can prove that. Then that's amazing. So we want to tell parents, you know, be available, be open. Let your kids know that they can come to you, because that, you know, would I want my kid to come and ask me about sex instead of their friend? Yes. Well, am I open to that? Does my kid know he can come and talk to me about that? And that's the question of the hour for some. Spirituality, that's another measure we use. Careers after high school. I'll run through these quickly and see if you guys have your careers on here. What do you want to be when you get out of high school and college, you know, or go to college for? And I think there's some pretty interesting answers here. And these might be probably socially desirable kind of answers. We want, in America, at least Western culture, we train our kids to want the jobs that will make the most money or get the most fame. There's an interesting question going around right now on surveys with students, and the answer comes back, it used to be I want to make a lot of money or whatever. The answer coming back from students right now is I want to be famous. Now, they may connect being famous with getting money or whatever. Mother Teresa was famous, but I doubt many of our kids want to go to Calcutta and wash people with leprosy. But if you want to be famous, come see me after this, and I'll get you to Honduras, and you can be Mother Teresa in Honduras. I can get you going on that tomorrow. If you want to be famous. So I think it probably has more to do, I want to be famous and rich, you know, kind of deal. Well, doctors, engineers, people like that are tops on the list. Although teaching, down at the bottom, 6%. Go teachers. Yeah. Biggest fears. See if your biggest fears on here. We had everything from creepy crawlers to going to hell to things like that. Once again, and this is a thing that adults have done to students, is we have put the pressure on you about academics and getting scholarships and getting into college. Because why? Not because we want you to be smart and get a good job. It's economics. If my kid, I mean, he took the ACT yesterday. I don't know what his score is going to be, but I guarantee you we're going to say, here's $30, go back over to OC and take it again. Because every point higher you get on that, it saves me thousands of dollars. And so I don't even know what he wants to be. He doesn't either. But I do know this. Every time you take the ACT and you go up, that's $1,000 more that it doesn't cost me at school. So, you know, do what you want to with that. Biggest fear, making choices, being close to God, not doing well in school. There were several things, but academics, career, not doing well in school, that it's all tied back to that. We ask, which of these things defines who you are? And I would ask you students from Missouri, and you guys from Nebraska, and from Iowa back there, which one of these things, I mean, does your life center around? You know, is it my friends and family, social status, my achievements? We kind of left that open, and they kind of collapsed into these categories. No one said my identity is in Christ. Now, that's probably because we haven't taught you that, because we definitely are social learning kind of people, and we know that you model after your parents, believe it or not. You may not want to be, but you're just like your parents. You're going to find yourself, students, when you have children or whatever, you're going to say something And you're going to catch yourself and go, oh my goodness, I swore to Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit and all my friends that I would never say that to my children. But you heard it so many times from your mother that it's just programmed into you because I said so. You know, I hate that answer as a kid, but I found myself going, I'm your dad, you know, and as long as you live in this house, you're gonna do that, you know, and we kind of default to those kind of answers because that's what we were taught, you know. And I love Bill Cosby, and you know, he just says, you know what, we brought you in the world, we can take you out because we can make another one just like you, you know. And when you get totally frustrated with your children, that's probably not a good answer, but it's funny. Well, we asked what's wrong with the world today and got about 1,200 different answers, but a lot of them collapsed down to deal. I was really intrigued about the focus on sex. I teach a class about media and culture, and when I begin that class at the first of the semester, I go down to a Walmart or somewhere that's got the magazine racks of Borders or someplace like that, and I just go along and buy about $100 worth of magazines, because every one of them that you guys read and that your parents read has the word sex on the cover somewhere. It's just how it is. I had a dad come up to me Wednesday night in church and saying, I know we're talking about 1 Corinthians and one of the lessons is probably going to be about sex, but these kids are too young. I don't know that we should be talking about it, because it's like if we talk about it in church, we're just like everybody else and everybody's talking about it and we become desensitized to it. And I kind of said, well, would you rather them hear what God has to say about it here than what their friends have to say about it at school? I mean, where is the place? Because you're not doing it at home. So, I mean, where do you want your kids to hear about sex? And students, let me tell you this. It's wonderful. I think it's probably the second greatest thing God ever did, you know, in the context of marriage with your partner, your marriage partner for life. It's the most wonderful thing. And salvation would be number one. But I'm thinking, of course, I'm a man, so you probably need to ask your mother, is it number two on your list? Go, that's your assignment. Go home, tell your parents. I already saw your eyes roll back there. Ask your mom how good sex is with your dad and the Christian kind of thing. You know, make it real biblical and just say, and I would like to sit down and have a discussion with you about that. Is one of these your daughters? Okay, y'all ask. Okay, ask your mom.
Just tell him Dudley said to ask.
Yeah, get the tape. Well, not only that one, but look at the last one down there, or at least on this page, lack of belief in God. Students are recognizing that, and we'll talk about that some more here. When does this end?
About 5 minutes.
9:45?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or 9:50.
Quickly, gringos. There's some more things there. Materialism, violence, war. You know, those are things that are on our minds, and if you probably, your church has been touched by the war, and we could get off on that. Well, this was the question that we really was interested in about where students were with God and in our fellowship and all. And we asked students, is the statement, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, there is no other way to God except through Him, is that a 100% true statement? Only 53% of you guys said that's 100% true. Well, according to the Bible, it is 100% true. There is no other way to get to God except through Jesus. But what we know about students today, and if you go read Unchristian, and if you read Soul Searching, and several other books about religiosity and adolescence, this is, you guys, millennials, are the first generation to come along that doesn't have Christianity as a baseline. Now, not you guys, because you're here, obviously, so you're church kids and you know about the Bible, and probably if you had to vote, at least if you're at your house, you would say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, because you've been taught that. But once again, this was 1,200 Church of Christ baptized kids, and only 53% said that's 100% true. Now, what we're hearing is that students your age are saying, you know what, some of my friends are Buddhist, or they're Shinto, or they're atheist or agnostic, or they're whatever. And we're all trying to get there, you know, kind of deal. And so if they want to be that, that's their deal or whatever, you know. But that puts some doubt in your head to say, maybe God, maybe there are other ways to get there. When I grew up, back in the 1800s, our battles were with Methodists and Presbyterians and Baptists. I mean, that's who the enemy was, you know. Well, I mean, even in our time, we've seen that change where, you know, when I go to Honduras, if anybody says the word God, even in a curse word, I'm like, hey, he knows about God, you know, and that opens the conversation up, you know. And I have actually heard people say a cuss word, you know, and walk up and say, hey, I heard you mention God. Do you know about him? Of course, they look at me like, you're an idiot, you know, whatever. But for the first time, you guys don't have that baseline. And so when you think about walking up to somebody and say, hey, you know what the Bible says? So? I mean, it's a book. I've heard about it. Maybe. You know, it's not like, you know, put your hand on the Bible and swear you're going to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. I mean, it doesn't mean what it did used to mean, which is sad. Yeah. I'm studying with a girl right now in Prague, Czech Republic. And it's amazing how hard it is. Honduras is easy compared to Europe, because it's almost like, I mean, when Hitler came through and shut down the churches, and then communism kept them shut down, it's amazing. My wife and I go see this girl every year. And in fact, this week we sent her a new TNIV Message Bible with a box full of Starbucks coffee. That's her vice. And we're going to see her this summer. And we talk about, her and I am every morning. When I'm up at 4 o'clock, it's like lunchtime for her. And so she's home checking email and stuff like that. And her grandmother's dying of cancer. And I asked her, I said, you know, what do you guys do in a situation like that? And she said, well, it's kind of sad. She said, one of the reasons I want to learn more about the Bible and what you do is because there seems like there's some hope or something. She says, now we're very sad. My grandmother's dying, and it's like she's going to die, and we're going to put her in a box and put her in the ground, and that's it. He said, but there's something that feels like there ought to be more. And so, wow, I mean, that's really given me an opportunity to talk to her about that. So, anyway, quickly. 10 youth group, mom goes to church, dad goes to church. Devotionals, in 52% didn't answer. To me, that's a no. We're not doing nothing in our home. And students, I want to be the first to apologize to you. I'm very sorry that we as adults are not modeling in Christ in front of you in our stinking homes. That's our fault. That's bad. Go home and tell your parents. You two girls, wait till after this and tell your mom. I mean, if your dad won't do it, your mom needs to do it. You know? Just get off of it, Mom, and start reading the Bible and praying with your kids every night at home. That's simple. You don't have to do a great speech or talk or devotional. Just read the Bible and say a prayer together. That's a good start. We ask them about what your worst bad habit is right now, you know, and so we got some of these kind of answers. Cursing was a big one, et cetera. Well, is there a difference in public schools or not? You know what? You'll have to come back another time to see that, because we're kind of out of time.
Let's see if they got some feedback.
Oh, see if they got some feedback. Students, how do we feel from Nebraska? Are you guys, are y'all real churchy? I mean, church kids, are y'all heathen? Or y'all go to, yeah, y'all go to church? Yeah.
You can't go to church.
Do you? You are the church. Okay. Do y'all have much support? I mean, is your youth group small, big, small? You are the youth group. I grew up like that. I was the youth group kind
Her
of
shirt
thing.
Says, I am a sheep. I guess she is
hey,
the
go
sheep.
OC.
She is the
All
sheep.
All right. Go by the OC booth and get a, tell them Dudley said to give you a free T-shirt. You three guys go there. Mikhail, go by that booth and get a, tell them I said to give you a free T-shirt and a $1,000 scholarship if you come to OC. Any thoughts about guys?
Questions?
Yeah. Anything for Lee?
I'm awesome, Jim.
All right.
Thanks.
Good. I say we go get some hot chocolate myself. Does that sound good? You guys need to stay here with your mom and work that little sex thing out while we do that. Well, let's pray together, and then we're going to go get on the shuttle and do something here. God, thanks for loving us. We thank you for blessing our life. Thank you for the opportunity to be alive today. We thank you for letting us be alive. We thank you for food and things that you give us. Pray for our friends in Honduras and in Czech Republic and all over the world that we know, that they would come to know you. And God, we thank you for all the blessings of this conference. Thank you even for Johnny running sound for us this morning, and for Lee being here, and for others to get to see old friends and these folks from all around the country. Ask your blessings on us as we raise our children, as we be kingdom workers in the churches where we come from. And we pray through Christ, amen. All right, guys, go to the OC booth and get all kinds of free stuff. Look for a girl named Katie Watson and tell her I sent you.